blown it, let me kind of say. Yeah. Dang, can you believe it? I can't believe it. 20 years ago, what was Shelby doing 20 years ago? I don't even know. Because I don't know when she was born. Anyway, hey, good evening, man. Y'all feeling good today? We're like solid into the school year now. And of course, if you missed it today, this was supposed to be like a rep year school thing. So I have the Rock Christian School on. I'm repping the Rock Christian School, the Lions. Don't be too excited now. Okay, whatever. And Aspen's got Eisenhower on. That's nice. It's pretty good. I like it. Well, hey, good evening, man. Okay. Now, we've gone through all these different things. Now, the question today I have to ask you is, are y'all ready to get in the Word today? Yeah, love it. All right. Well, I love it because the Word of God, you know, don't you just hate it when you don't know what somebody wants? You know, I mean, like one of the worst is like, what do you want to go do? I don't know. What do you want to go do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I'm up for anything. You want to do this? No, I don't want to do that. But what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? It's like the worst. And God don't play games like that. It's not like, oh, God, what do you want? I don't know. What do you want? No, God knows exactly what he wants. And God knows exactly what he wants from us. Like, if you ever wonder why the Bible, that's why. You know, God saved his wants from us for thousands of years. And today we get the opportunity to be able to get into it and to find out what God has for us, what God wants from us. And today you can even find out what God wants to give to you. So today, if you have any questions, then prayerfully, hopefully, if you pay attention tonight, take some notes, get your Bible out, type it into a little note document on your phone, not like, you know, social media or whatever, unless you're going to post something that's about tonight. But tonight you have an opportunity to hear from God, from his word that he has saved for thousands of years, and today it's going to make sense. So tonight, if you don't mind, I'd like to get into the word. Now, just so you know, I'm a little rusty because I've been gone from talking on Wednesday nights for like a month. I missed you guys. I missed you a lot. I know. Oh, you can have those chips. That's cool. All right. So, and see, that's why I'm here, to give you them chips. All right. And if somebody tells you they're theirs, they're lying. Those are your chips. Because, like, nobody else is sitting around him. Like, this is weird, right? You guys should be sitting in the... Okay, anyway. So tonight, let's pray. Let's get in the Word, shall we? Let's do it. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for the Word. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to dig into the Bible. So, God, today I pray that you would make it more than a book, more than ink on paper, but, Lord, it'd be life to us. God, today I pray that you would make it come alive. And, God, that today you would just bullseye our heart tonight and the thing that we need to know, so we can leave this place and live a life like you designed us to live. God, that we can live a life that looks like the life of Jesus Christ. So God, today, you have our attention, you have our heart, you have our life to do with whatever you want. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen.
All right, we're going to start a little series talking about some identity issues. I guess the biggest thing is, and it's kind of funny too, but we're going to talk about who are you? Who am I? Like, it's a really basic question. Like, if you want to get an email address, if you want to sign up for the next Snapbook or Twitter face, or if you want to get down on, like, you know, Tinder, no, not Tinder, whatever it is, one of the first questions it's going to ask you is, who are you? It wants a picture of you. It wants to know your age. It wants to know sometimes what you like. I mean, it's going to collect data all about you, the places you go, so it knows what to show you, right? Like, sometimes it's crazy. Sometimes I think our social media applications know us better than we do. Like, right? Like it may even know more about you than you tell the people around you. So the question today is who are you? Like, at this age where you're at right now in your life, this is a really big question. And if you've never thought about it, give it a minute, because you're gonna start thinking about it, right? The way you dress, the people you hang out with, how close you want to be with mom and dad, right? Like, I still remember the day. I remember, like, two things I distinctly remember about sixth grade. I remember, number one, the first pimple I ever got. It was right here. I remember it because my friend was like, hey, what's that on your face? I'm like, I don't know. Oh, my God, what is that? Who am I? I'm a monster. And then I remember the last time I kissed my dad in public as a child. That's what you're supposed to say, aw. It was sad. Like, I remember that. I remember I was getting dropped off in seventh grade. I remember getting dropped off in seventh grade. And I kissed my dad goodbye, and all of a sudden my friend was like, "Hey, who's that? Is that your dad?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah." I was like, "I'm never doing that again," because I had a reputation. It wasn't much of a reputation. It was like a nerd reputation, but I still had a nerd reputation to represent. And I remember that, and I began to think and be so conscious of these things. Like, how did I look to other people? What kind of person was I going to show off? Like, what kind of person was I going to hide? What things were acceptable for me to show to the people around me? And that was a really big deal. Now, the question is, where does God fit into all this, right? Because God made you, you, right? And if God made you, you, then you should be okay being you. But the problem is this, is we end up filtering our life. We end up getting nervous about the parts that we want to show other people, right? Like you guys have used like Snapchat and Instagram, or at least you've seen these things before, you know, and people use these things all the time, these filters all the time, so they can change the way they look. Maybe you want to like lighten the shadows up a little bit, so you don't show certain shadows and contours. Maybe you want to throw that little doggy face on you, so you look like a cute little puppy. Right, right. Or maybe you've gotten a hold of Photoshop. And you want to add or delete a little something. You just got to be careful because it could get really awkward and weird, you know. It's just like, that is unnatural, right? And look, people know what you look like in real life anyway. Who am I? No filter. No filter necessary. No filter needed. Like we have to be able to show up to this world as God created us. We need to be able to know who God made you to be so you can show up and be that person instead of some type of, you know, Mayfield, some type of low pro, some type of, you know, bounced and bumped and contoured piece of whatever that this world makes you feel like you have to show up on. Because even as a person, if you've grown up in church all your life, you can feel the need to put on this front because you have been given this identity that you never really wanted to accept. So how do you find out the real you? It's crazy. I was talking to like a 60-year-old person today, and they were telling me about how sometimes it's so hard for them, even as a 60-year-old person, to be themselves. That's crazy. Some of these struggles never really go away. You see, God wants you to live a no-filter life, and I know that because way back in the beginning, back in the way, 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 way back in the beginning of the left side of the Bible in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you find the original people and the way God intended them to live. Now, obviously things have changed a little bit, so I'm not going to say you have to be exactly like Adam and Eve, because you guys need to wear clothes. The more, the better, preferably. But they were totally unfiltered. And the crazy part of this is Genesis 1, 26 through 28. The crazy thing is God begins to talk about how he fashioned man and how he made woman and how he took them from the dust and the dirt and all this kind of jazz. And he says here, in 1:26, he said, God said, let's make man in our image according to our likeness. And they'll give them dominion over the fish and the sea and the birds and the air and the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You're going to be the boss. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male, female, both man and woman. He created them. And then God said, be fruitful, and multiply. God said, be happy. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the sea, birds, the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then God said, see, I've given you everything, every herb that yields seed. Now, the important part is here, down here, I want you guys to see this, is that it says that God saw everything that he made. And indeed, it was very good. You see, God made you very good. No filter needed. See, Adam and Eve were naked. You can't get any less filtered than that. Awkward. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about that part too much because it gets kind of weird. But But like, seriously, they had nothing separating them between reality. And they were very good. And a lot of times in our lives, we want to hide behind things. See, here's the crazy thing that happened. Is Adam and Eve are just chilling, and they're very good. They're very, very good. They're perfect. They're wonderful. They're awesome. They're having a great time just enjoying all of God's creation. And then what happens in Genesis 3? The serpent came, right? And he began to give them new ideas, different ideas. And it says here, it says in Genesis 3, verse 4, it says, "Now the serpent said, 'You will not die if you eat of the fruit.' He says, 'God knows on that day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil.'" All of a sudden, they began to look at themselves in a way other than God made them. There's a filter. All of a sudden, the blues looked a little more orange, right? And all of a sudden, the reds looked a little faded, because now they began to look at themselves the way the snake saw them. Instead of seeing themselves how God saw them, see, now they didn't look very good anymore, because somebody else was telling them how to feel. Somebody else was telling them what they thought a good idea or the truth was, but it was a lie all along, because what Adam and Eve forgot was that they were already very good, and they didn't need anybody else to tell them how good they were. I don't know if you've ever been called a name before, but sometimes if you get called a name long enough, you begin to believe it. Right? Like stupid, ugly. Yeah, it's funny, because sometimes you only need to be called a name once to start to believe it. And what happens is, like that snake, somebody's just got to give you one word to change the way you look at yourself in the mirror. Maybe it came from a parent or a friend or an enemy or somebody that you thought you could trust, an ex-boyfriend. Maybe it came from a neighbor, or maybe from a TV show. Maybe it's a word that you called yourself, but all of a sudden the snake came in and just gave him a couple sentences, and it changed everything. Adam and Eve began to look at each other and say, maybe we aren't good enough. Maybe we're not very good. Maybe we're just kind of good. Maybe there's parts of us that aren't the way they're supposed to be. Things inside of us, things around us. And all of a sudden their life began to get filtered, and they forgot that they were very good. It says this, it says, "The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. The tree was desirable to make one wise." She never looked at the tree that way before. But something changed, because somebody started telling her something that God didn't. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they began to sew fig leaves together. They made for themselves covering. And then all of a sudden God showed up. And what does God ask them? What did God ask them? "Who told you were naked?" Like, who told you that? This wasn't an issue before. See, before you were cool with yourself, but then all of a sudden somebody said you weren't smart, and now you think you're stupid. Who told you were stupid? Who told you weren't tall enough or skinny enough? Who told you weren't strong enough? Who told you needed to be to have a six-pack, or only real men do things this way and sissy men do things that way? Who told you this? You know, God's not looking for information, right? Like, look, if God ever asks a question, it's not because he don't know the answer. God asks somebody a question, it's because he wants you to think about what the answer is. Who told you weren't very good? With a snake? Since when did you start listening to snakes? Right? Since when did you start listening to snakes? Right? Like you. Have you been listening to snakes lately? See, God made me very good. God made you very good. And when you look in the mirror, you need to say, that looks very good. Look, I know you look a little jacked up sometimes. I know you wake up and you got those pillow wrinkles on the side of your face. You got those mucus and the crust inside of your eyes that you need to like scrape out. But you still look very good. Hey, that's some good eye junk you got going on right there. That's cute. And you need to find somebody that thinks it's cute too. See, I love my wife's eye junk. Never mind. She's cute even when she looks jacked up. She don't need no makeup. I like her unfiltered. Anyway, the problem is this. The snakes. The snakes want to tell you things that God didn't tell you. And the problem is the snake's ideas always change. See, When you wrap up your identity, when you wrap up who you are by the clothes you wear, the style you got, the shoes you have, when you wrap up your identity and the friends that you have, here's what I've noticed is they always change, right? Like, okay, my 11th grade people in here, I could be wrong, but chances are my 11th grade people in this room, and if you're in 11th grade, chances are most of your friends that you had in 7th grade are probably different. Maybe you have a couple of them hanging on. Chances are they're probably different. I remember I had a friend back in first grade, and he was my friend first grade to sixth grade, but then it changed sixth grade. First to fifth, me and Travis Bacon. That was his real name. We were real tight. But then all of a sudden, sixth grade, and I was like, who? Me and Nathan Haskins. He was my boy. He was so tall. And I was not. Still am not. And I assume he still is tall. I don't know. But we were cool until one day, 7th grade, 8th grade. Me and another dude named Evan. We were super tight, man. We'd draw pictures in 7th grade, 8th grade together, and then all of a sudden, 9th, 10th grade, just people change. Styles, thankfully, change. Hairstyles, change. The circle of people you surround, they change. The things you like changes. So you need to find something better than those things to identify yourself with, right? Like you've got to know who you are apart from your friends. You've got to know who you are apart from your parents. You've got to know who you are apart from all these other things that identify you. Maybe if you play sports, who are you without your sports? If you play an instrument, who are you apart from the keyboard, the drums? Who are you apart from your voice? Because all those things can change. And that's kind of crazy to think, right? Who are you apart from your grades? Are you bigger than that? Are you bigger than those things? What's the one thing that will never change in your life? But that's Jesus Christ. That's what you need to identify with. Because one day, if you're only as good as your grades, one day when you get that D will tell you you're not very good. That F will tell you that you're not very good. One day, the friends that you have, they may tell you that you're not very good. And you can't listen to those snakes. You've got to listen to what God says about you. You see, because God never changes. I love this verse in Hebrews. And it begins to say about how great God is. Because God never lies, right? It begins to say how much you can trust God. In Hebrews 6, verse 19, it says, now because you can trust God, God wants to be that anchor of your soul. God wants to be the anchor of your soul. Sure, steadfast. So you can enter the presence behind the veil. All that means is you can be close to God. You can be close to God at any time, and that'll never change. So let God be the one that you tie yourself to, that no wind, no challenge, no storm of life can blow you away from that. No issue with your grades, no issue with whether or not one day you're cool, the next day you're not. Something happens, and all of a sudden your friends disappear. That doesn't matter, because you're hanging on to who Jesus is in you and what God says about you. See, anything you identify yourself with outside of God is no good. It's no good. And you don't want that, especially if God's called you very good. So apart from God, it's no good. With God, you become very good. So don't listen to the snakes. Because the snakes and everything they say, it's got no good. No good for you. See, you've got to let God tell you who you are. Like if you feel a certain way and you think, I just feel this or that. Hey, that's cool because feelings change. But Jesus don't. So why would you listen to your feelings if they'll change when you can listen to God and you already know what he's going to say about you? Because I don't know if you've ever just been in a funk where you just don't like yourself, or you've ever been in a funk where you just think, man, you just think all these crazy thoughts about life and your family and your friends and even you. But those feelings, you can't always trust your feelings. You can sometimes, but not always. And when your feelings are talking like a snake, you got to listen to your anchor. To Jesus Christ, who will tell you you're very good. Now, I know this is kind of just like a solid, kind of serious conversation, but I'm telling you, man, you got, as a young person, you got to get a hold of this, because right now you might find yourself looking for things. I remember I was in eighth grade, and back then super baggy pants were it. I was like, where you're at? And I remember one day we were changing back from PE, and I wore pants that actually fit me, but the problem was all my friends did not. So I remember I was like, all right, Richard, this is the day. This is the day you got to sag your pants, which was a terrible idea. And I remember I was like, just, you know, changing and stuff like that. And I was like, looking around, nobody's here. I was like, trying to like pull my pants, just like middle of my butt. And it just is terrible because my pants fit. And you can't do that. My butt was like all pinched. And I was like, oh, my butt was like super sore. And I was like, this is a terrible idea. And it was just, and I tried walking around the rest of the day. Like, oh, cool, man. And I, every time I walk, they'd be like, burr, burr, burr. I was like, no, down. Like tearing the seams of my pockets, trying to keep them down. No! Things people do to try to be cool. And I wasn't even cool. Like, I'll tell you right now, looked a little pretty stupid doing that. And the things people do, man. And we find ourselves trying to wrap ourselves up into these kind of dumb things. Like, how many times have people taken that same selfie pose 30 times in a row just to find that right one? And then if you don't get all the likes you want, you delete it and do it all over again. Why do we do stupid things to get people to like us? People we don't even like, we want to like us. Like, this is ridiculous. It's a game, man. I love Jeremiah 1:6. Where God is telling Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid of them looking at you. And he said, God, I can't. I can't. I'm so insecure. I'm so young. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. And God tells Jeremiah, don't be afraid of the way they look at you. And you can't, and we can't, and I can't get scared. And if we feel like we just don't have that look, that people are going to look down on us when we live the way God created us to be. In 1 Corinthians 7:23, the Bible tells us this. God says, why do you forget that you belong to me? Don't become a slave to men. And we become a slave to the way people think about us. It's called peer pressure. Now, I remember, I've never had anybody say, Richard, you need to smoke some weed. Like peer pressure is like not that. Like, Richard, if you don't dress right, nobody's going to like you. I never had anybody tell that to me. Like that, I don't know if you experienced that peer pressure. Like, you better shoot this heroin up right now. Or you can't hang with us, Richard. Get the heroin. I have never had those struggles in my life. But my peer pressure was always from me. Like that one moment with my pants. Like that one moment where I remember thinking, man, Richard, you really need a girlfriend. Or you're just behind the times. You're way too old to have not had a girlfriend. Those things came from insecurities inside of me. I listened to my own heart, and it was a snake to me instead of listening to God's voice. That's where the peer pressure came. So you need to check yourself and what things you say about yourself. Don't be afraid of their faces, and don't become a slave to anybody else's idea of who you should be. It's funny, this story in the Bible of Peter. Like, Jesus is like he's like getting tried, right? Like, Jesus is on trial and he's about ready to get crucified. And all the disciples, what happens? They like scatter. It's like you just turn the light on, all the roaches just whoosh, right like that. And that's what the disciples were like. It's like, oh no, the police are here. Run! Like, that's literally what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. So all the disciples go this way, but they're like nosy. So what do? They follow Jesus where nobody can see them. And there they are. Jesus is getting beat, and Jesus is getting slammed by the lawyers. And they finally say, "You know what? You're guilty." And Peter's there. Peter, one of Jesus' best friends, is there, and he's watching Jesus go through all this stuff. And they get ready to cart Jesus off, and then somebody bumps into Peter. They're like, "Hey, I know you. You're his friend." What does Peter do? No. You don't know me. You don't know me. I'm not with that guy. Happens again. Hey, you're Peter, right? I saw you with this guy when he was healing people. No, you have me mistaken. The peer pressure got to him, and Peter forgot who he was. Then all of a sudden, some little girl says, wait a minute, I know you. I know your accent. Because he had like that accent from the south side. And they're like, you're Peter. I know you. The little girl's like, this guy. And what Peter starts cussing at this little girl. He literally starts cussing at the little girl. You don't know what you're talking about, you little. I am him. And all of a sudden he starts running off. He's running from a little girl. Peter, right? And the pressure made him forget who he was. He forgot that he was a good friend. He forgot that he was made in God's image. He forgot that he was brave and strong. He forgot who God created him to be. And he ran off and was scared of a little girl. All because he's listened to the snake that said, you're not very good. When you look in the mirror, you've got to say, I am very good. Not because you're like all of it and everything, but because God created you to be very good. And when you know that, when you're stuck and you're attached to God, then you begin to live a no-filter life boldly, because now it's about who God created you to be. See, Adam and Eve, no filter, man. Adam and Eve, they didn't have to put up a front for the giraffes. I got to look good for this giraffe so he thinks I'm the boss. He just lived it. He didn't have to prove anything to anybody because he knew what God said about him, that he was very good. Hey, if you guys got something that God did, let's give him a praise. All right. So let's talk. Everybody get up. Everybody stand up real quick. We got about 10, 15 minutes. I want you guys to get in your three question groups. Go ahead, find a person, find a grown folk, and they're going to ask you three questions. You already know two of them, but it's that one question in the middle. So you guys go ahead, find a spot, and let's talk about this. Because God wants you to live a no-filter life. God made you very good. And anything you identify you outside of his image is no good. So you've got to live that no-filter life boldly. Or you'll be scared of little girls. You. Yeah.